You found something?
Yes, my lord.
That's it. The rebels are there.
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements.
That is the system. Set your course for the Hoth system.
As long as everybody behaves, this will be quick and painless.
Did you hear that? We're doomed.
Welcome to Echo Base, your weekly water cooler discussion exploring Star Wars news, issues, mythology, and understanding that galaxy far, far away.
We will use all our resources to unravel this mystery.
Dodging Imperial probe droids while leaving no topic unturned in this frozen wasteland.
You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Now live. Dock the snowspeeders and lock up the tauntauns. It's time for Echo Base.
It's not Tatooine, that's for sure.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red 2 standing by.
Right now I feel like I take on the whole Empire myself.
Cut the channel, Red 2.
Standby alert.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the base.
Close the doors.
Yes, sir.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is episode number 67. We're recording this the week of Celebration London, of which we are not attending, much to our dismay. And we are also flying without Eric this week. He has decided to abandon us. I'm sure we'll figure something that we can blame him for, so it's his fault, according to a standard network policy. But in the meantime, we'll have to figure that out. So with me tonight is Chris, as usual. Chris, how are you tonight?
I am pretty good.
There you go. Oh, see, it's upbeat. Listen to that, huh?
I'm upbeat because Eric isn't here.
Oh, nice. I like that. And also with us, we have a special guest tonight from the Retro Convo and from the Spock table. We have Mike Templeton. How are you, Mike?
I'm also doing great because Eric's not here.
Oh, it's really good when Eric's not here, isn't it?
Well, I figure that's why I'm here, you know.
Well, we had the extra spot so we could bring you in. Yeah, it's not that we needed you here, but we said, you know what, we have an extra spot. Let's see who's available on the network. And you were the one that jumped at the chance, so we've now got you on here.
And Eric's chair is really warm, so, yeah, it's kind of nice.
I'm not sure I want to know that, but okay, well, if that makes you happy, that's fine. I'm not sure where to go with that. Oh, well, anyways. So, yeah, as we said, this is the week of Celebration London. I know one of our listeners for the show is actually heading there. He's going to be our kind of correspondent for all things Celebration London, Joel. We were trying to get him on the show tonight to record his thoughts and stuff before he heads to London. But sadly, he's jumping on a plane as we're recording this. So Chris and I both heard that. And we went, oh, you know, I really wish I was getting on a plane to go to London. But sadly, we're not. But yeah, no, he's going to be over there for a couple of days now and get to see the trailer live when it gets released on Friday night. You guys both looking forward to the extended trailer we're going to get on Friday?
Oh, so excited.
Now, I still haven't seen when they're going to, this, what, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock on Friday? Our time? Eastern time, I should say?
Yeah, I think it's 8 o'clock your time.
So now it still doesn't. It's going to be online before that. It's got to be because they're not doing it live 8 o'clock Eastern time in London, because that would be like what, you know, 1 a.m.
All I know is I'm waking up to it being a West Coaster. So Friday morning will be very nice for me.
Well, wait a minute. It's supposed to be 8 p.m. Eastern time Friday night here.
Oh, I know what I said. Oh, I like to sleep in.
Oh, I see. You're one of those guys.
Yeah, West Coast.
You know, these West Coast guys are so laid back. I just can't get used to that. Sorry, man. So yeah, I'm so looking forward to this. I'm really looking forward to getting more context around what we already saw. I mean, the new trailer is gonna be 3 minutes long, so it's only a minute longer than what we already had. But the first trailer was, you know, a bunch of images, a bunch of scenery that we saw that we're all kind of trying to make heads or tails of as to what's going on. Hopefully we get some more context now with maybe some dialogue, you know, in this trailer. I mean, usually a trailer has more substance to it, so we can kind of see what's going on, or just a snippet of here and there. What do you guys think about that?
See, I'm hoping it's going to be like an Ocean's 11 type of thing where like we get introduced to the players. There's some kind of upbeat jazz music in the background. You know, like that's what I want to see.
Okay. Yeah, I Ocean's 13 was just on, or Ocean's 12 was on the other night. I was watching part of that, and I was like, oh, yeah, okay, kind of like Rogue One.
No, exactly. That's exactly what I picture for this movie.
No, see, I'm thinking a lot darker.
Yeah, I want some action.
I'm thinking it's going to be really gritty. I hope somebody dies in the first few minutes of the movie.
Yeah, Lou.
It's a war movie. Come on. I mean, you know, it'd be great to have somebody just go in the first 5 minutes, wouldn't it?
I mean, Saving Private Ryan did it.
Yeah. I mean, God, the first 15 minutes of that movie, I was exhausted.
Yeah, that's what they pitched this as, was like Saving Private Ryan in space, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, when we saw that clip or that discussion at Celebration in Anaheim, you know, they made a point of saying, look, the guys working on this movie, the guys that did, you know, Black Hawk Down and Saving Private Ryan and Zero Dark Thirty, and it was like, wow, if you guys are going with that kind of a tone, this is going to be an awesome war movie. So, yeah, I'm hoping it stays dark. I'm hoping it's a good movie, very action-oriented, but, you know, good storyline going through with just a touch of darkness. I mean, you know, I do like the darker side of things. So,
yeah.
But let's see, what else do we have before we get into our discussion topic this week? Oh, actors have been tweeting on Twitter that they are wrapping up filming for episode 8. So that is exciting news that they are done with principal photography. I think the wrap party is supposed to be on the 22nd of July. But there are already some actors. I know that Mark Hamill tweeted he was done, and I think Anthony Daniels did. So, you know, we're coming to the end of that. Now, of course, there'll be reshoots. Nobody should panic when we have a reshoot for this movie coming up, because it happens on every movie. I think it's in good hands, so let's not worry ourselves over nothing. But, yeah, the end of principal photography, people are kind of sad about that, the actors at least, that they're no longer working on that movie. Have to wait for the next one.
I'm sad that just means that I didn't win the Force for Change and get to go to the set this time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just another year, I guess.
Unfortunately. Yeah, I'm still waiting for them to call me for an extra. Yeah, just, you know, put my name in, but you know, nothing happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one, you know, this will be kind of, you know, hopefully good for Eric, I think. You know, good that he's not going to London, because the ILM lab is bringing the Trials of Tatooine to Celebration London. It's going to be a virtual reality 3D immersive environment where it's going to be, you know, sit on Tatooine. And we know how much Eric likes sand. So I almost kind of wish we could send him to London just to do this. You know, nothing else, just do this one thing and come home. Because that would be good for him, I think, to appreciate the sand and how it gets everywhere and it's gritty. And, you know, he'd like that, I think.
Yeah.
He could stay there for all 3 days.
And just do this, yeah. Can we get Eric a spot in the Trials of Tatooine just for the whole weekend? You know, he can stay there, sleep with the headgear on. I guess this is a virtual reality simulator. Like they've got the HTC Verve, I guess, in a headset they're going to wear and interact with the environment. So it looks like it should be pretty interesting. I haven't seen the videos from it yet, but everything I've seen, description of it, looks really cool. Something about the Falcon coming in at the very end of the trials. So I don't know if you get to board the Falcon or if it just flies by and leaves you on the sand, but yeah, one or the other, it should be pretty cool.
Well, I was going to say, we should use the hashtag Sandy Eric.
Oh, there we go. I like that. Yeah, you should tweet that out, Chris. Yeah, that we're live in the chat room and Sandy Eric is not with us.
Hashtag Sandy Eric.
Well, you know, unfortunately, that is all the news we have. There has been a real drought of information leading up to Celebration. I think we'll get a lot more news in a couple days. Today is Tuesday, and Celebration starts on Friday. So that will be kind of cool. I am looking forward to anything we get out of there. And wait, something is appearing in our show notes magically. Mike, what are you trying to tell us here?
Well, you know, being a West Coaster, I have some direct access.
That he's close to. Okay,
well,
go ahead.
You know, there's this little place called Disneyland where there's a lot of magic, you know, and they basically
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Oh, yeah. So we got a sneak peek at some of the concept art for Star Wars Land.
Oh, more. Cool.
Yeah, so a little bit more came out. You can find it over on the Disney Parks blog, disneyparks.disney.go.com. And they have a link there to some, you know, other images. It's really cool, and I really, really hope we get more out of Celebration, though they might be saving it for the next D23, because we are at least 2 years away. But mm-hmm. I can say I drive by this, you know, maybe once a week or so, and there's some, it looks really cool so far. Like, granted, it still looks dirty and dirt and kind of like bits of Alderaan all over the place, but I could tell you the excitement is really and high for me.
You know, I must say I am really jealous that you are that close to it, that you drive by it every day and can see the, you know, events going on and the progress they're making towards getting this thing done. I wish I was there. That is so awesome.
That's okay. I mean, you're more than welcome to come stay with me.
Awesome. I'll have to make that happen. Okay, so our discussion this week's been kicked off by some feedback from one of our listeners, a couple of our listeners actually, that were interested in, you know, what we thought were essential readings leading up to the new movies, you know, what the new canon, you know, what books are worth reading going forward. And I think we're going to throw in some stuff there, what we're looking forward to coming up for canon books, and also maybe some stuff that's legends that we still think is worth reading, even though it's not considered canon anymore. So Chris, you had a couple of the emails and tweets there from listeners. Why don't you kind of start us off?
All right. So I'll just go ahead and read both of them. The first one, Joe on Twitter asked, "Hey guys, what are your must-read books for the new canon?" And then we had another person. This was a while back. This was back in June. Tony said, "Hello, Echo Base team. My question for you guys is about diving deeper into the Star Wars universe overall. I became a Star Wars fan from the films, and I've never seen any of the TV shows or read any other books or flipped through any of the comics. I have decided that I would now like to expand my Star Wars universe, but with so much content out there, I don't know where to begin. Do you have suggestions on specific books, comics, or TV series that would be a good place to start?"
Hmm. Well,
yes, there... yes, yes.
Okay, it's the show, folks. We'll see you guys next week.
You can find us on randomchatter.com.
God, you know, there is so much out there right now and so much that has come and gone. I'm not sure which one of these to answer first and how we should tackle this. I kind of think we should talk about what we think is worthwhile for the new canon. And then maybe get into, you know, where a new person should start going into all of the Star Wars. If they've only seen the films, you know, where do they go from there? Is it books first? Is it TV shows? Is it comics? You know, we kind of tackle that one secondarily. So, you know, in regards to the first one, canon books, what do you guys see as the essential reading for new canon going forward, and which ones can a reader maybe skip or at least put off to a second tier?
I would say, in terms of books, and this is coming from someone who has not read all of them, I'd say, at least for the time being, ones I would recommend is A New Dawn, Lost Stars, and probably Bloodline. I've not read Bloodline, but I hear that it's good. So,
okay. Mike, what about you? Are you keeping up on the novel so far?
You know, I'm trying. I actually have a copy of Lost Stars sitting on my shelf, and it looks really nice, and someday I'll open it. I promise. But I've been leaning actually more towards the comics. So for me, definitely the Star Wars main book, just Star Wars by Marvel, because that's our monthly dose, and it is really building a world. We're getting new characters. We're getting the new squad of stormtroopers that was announced earlier this year. That kind of black ops like Stormtrooper team, the cool one, mm-hmm. the poncho was my personal favorite.
Okay.
But then also the Darth Vader comic book has been really good consistently, and that'll be ending soon. After issue 25, they're finally going to wrap it up, but it's been kind of the fall of Darth Vader after the beginning, after the first Death Star blew up, and how he had kind of had to prove himself that he is still worthy of being the Emperor's apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a constant read for me. Also, Kanan. That series ended earlier this year, but the Kanan, The Last Padawan, which is his backstory about when he was Caleb Doom from the old back during the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And all it makes me want is a Rebels comic book. So,
yes.
Right, right. You know, I think you hit it right in the head there with some of the comics. I mean, the main Star Wars one is excellent, and I really do enjoy the Darth Vader ones, even though I'm way behind, so I guess maybe I'm saving them to savor them a little bit longer, I guess. But no, I just haven't had time to dig into them. But I do have all those books, and I'm looking forward to reading more of them. But the Darth Vader stuff that I've read so far has been fantastic. And it kind of gives me a new insight into that character because, you know, in one respect, I look at these books and I'm like, okay, people didn't realize who he was. And, you know, from seeing the movies, we all know who he is. And it just didn't click in my mind that the rest of the universe wouldn't know that Anakin Skywalker became Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even Tarkin didn't know. And it was like, wow, okay, that's a whole different aspect to that character that I had no idea about. So it's kind of cool to go back and read these things and kind of put different things in place back in time and, okay, did who knew what when, you know, kind of things. It was nice to see that. As far as the books go, Chris, you're absolutely right. The two in my book that are essential reading right now are Bloodlines and Lost Stars. Those two, to me, felt more like Star Wars than anything else from the new canon that I've read. And I think I've read everything except for, what was the first person?
Heir to the Jedi, not missing much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the consistent.
Yeah, I started it, and I just couldn't get into it, so I kind of put it aside. I'll probably go back and read it at some point, but it's not high on my list right now. But yeah, Lost Stars, it was, what, a young adult novel?
Yes.
Had a bit of romance to it. I was kind of going, okay, am I really going to like this? But, you know, it felt really, really awesome. It felt like Star Wars to me. Maybe it was just because it was set in the time frame that we're used to for the original trilogy. I'm assuming that helped. You know, you can kind of put things in place. You know what's going on. You know who the players are. Sometimes when you have just all brand new characters introduced, I have a hard time following what's going on, especially in a universe that we know so well. You know, so that's when it takes me out of the book a little bit. But Lost Stars felt very familiar, felt very good. And then Bloodlines. That was, again, another book giving us some more insight into characters we already know and helps, you know, flesh out that whole story. We still haven't gotten the stories I'm looking for. Aftermath was supposed to be that, and it kind of fell short, in my opinion. Maybe because it was set too close to the events of Return of the Jedi, and it wasn't getting into leading up to The Force Awakens. I guess the next two books will. One of which just came out.
Life Debt is supposed to be a lot better.
Yeah, apparently Life Debt just came out today, didn't it?
It did.
Yes. But I will say that I'm getting an opinion that Life Debt is better from people who liked Aftermath. So I don't know.
Okay. So it puts some context there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it may be a little biased.
Maybe. I trust these people's opinions, but again, they liked Aftermath, and I thought it was terrible because I couldn't even get through like the first few chapters.
I kept getting lost in Aftermath. It didn't, again, maybe because it was the characters or because I didn't understand who was who. I'm probably going to go back and reread that again, but I did start Life Debt today. My Audible download came through, so I started listening to that on the way home from work tonight. And so far, it feels a lot like Aftermath did. So it makes sense. Same author, same time frame, same characters. But I have hopes that it's going to be better. That to me is a key to get people from the original trilogy into the new chronology. I mean, mm-hmm. we've got to be there. And we're going to see a movie that's in that same time frame now, pretty much. Or, you know, original trilogy time frame in a few months here, and I'm hoping that gets people back interested in stuff in and around that era.
Yeah,
and books maybe will make more sense to us. I mean, I'm hoping there's some tie-ins in Rogue One in Aftermath, and in some, you know, maybe they'll use some of the same characters.
There's a lot of characters that could appear in Rogue One that I'm really pushing for.
Okay, like Rebels Crew. What was that? Rebels Crew?
Yeah, you know, I just want to see them, just in the background. Just give me the ghost.
That'd be cool to see the ghost fly by.
Yeah, like it just has to be in the hangar, or like Hera can be in a meeting room, and Chopper.
As they're walking down the hallway, Hera will be at a vending machine, you know, getting a snack.
And I would see the movie three more times just for that scene. So,
okay,
there you are, Kathleen.
There's a lot of extra money coming on.
There you are, Kathleen. You got my money.
Oh, boy.
They could always put him in like Constable Zuvio was in The Force Awakens.
No. Constable not appearing in this film.
I was like, wait, did I blink? Did I miss him? Yeah, maybe. There hasn't been a lot of books released for the new canon. I mean, what else have we not talked about this part of this new canon? I mean, there was a Tarkin book.
There was the Battlefront book.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of forgettable.
Dark Disciple, Lords of the Sith.
Lords of the Sith wasn't bad. I kind of like that book. Yeah,
I think that's it. Because they really bombarded us at first with books, and then it slowed down once we got closer to The Force Awakens.
Yeah, and I remember that being everybody's fear was that there was going to be too many books, like at first. Like, we're trying to cram this period full of new Star Wars information. I think you guys covered it on an older episode.
We did, yeah. Well, and I think that was Chris's big beef, too. Chris.
Yeah.
Did not like to have all these books coming out. And I do agree with him to an extent. I mean, I don't want to have so much that I can't keep up with it. But no matter what we do in 5 or 6 or 10 years' time, anybody new coming into this would be so overwhelmed. And I'm kind of surprised by the email question we have about, you know, where to start, because there's so much out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kind of started with a blank slate. I mean, I'm not trying to say that there isn't a lot out there, because there really is. There's a lot of content you got to catch up on if you're going to get into it now, but not as much as there was, you know, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Like at that point,
I think the best answer, at least for me personally, is we're still trying to figure out too.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is a brand new frontier for all of us. So like I'm personally trying to find it in my big jumping point. So far it's been the comics. I'll get to the books eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, my entry has been the comics and the TV shows, Rebels. So, yeah.
You know, I think Rebels is probably an easy stepping off point for anybody coming into this that doesn't have, maybe the background of reading comics or has time to read books. Mm-hmm. Rebels is a great intro to get into the broader world than the movies. And you got to kind of think of Rebels as, you know, maybe the second part of or the second level of cartoons or animated series that they've done since, Clone Wars ended. They learned a lot there and have taken that to the next level with Rebels, really. I mean, go back and see, Clone Wars stuff, too. But the Rebels stuff going forward is just fantastic. And it is building that base of kind of where we're at, what happened in between the movies. And it feels very, okay, I'll keep saying familiar again, because it does feel like we're in the same universe, and they're doing a great job bringing us, content that may not be live action movie, but has every bit of as much weight to it as I think the movies do.
Yeah. A lot of the action, like there are moments where I just sit there and just giggle with glee. Because it feels like Star Wars. Like, it feels like something I was missing from maybe the prequels, or something that I don't even really get from Episode 4 anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, it's that sense of this is a new adventure with new characters that I've connected with. So, Rebels would be my biggest recommendation, You don't even have to watch Clone Wars. You'll get more out of Rebels if you watch Clone Wars. But
yeah, there's a few nods to it, definitely. But you're right, you don't have to. It, you know, and that was a very good comment there, Mike, too. I never really thought of that. But you know, I have become more attached to the characters in Rebels than I was in the prequels.
Mm-hmm. I have too.
I didn't think about that until you mentioned that. I'm like, that is a very good point, because now I feel more for these characters. I feel like I'm attached to them more. The Rebel stuff, I mean the prequel stuff, just sometimes it feels, too, it's funny, I'll say cartoony, even though we're comparing to a cartoon that is better in some respects. I just going through the prequels now with my wife, because she agreed to watch all the movies after we get back from the cruise, and we are in the middle of we just finished the Phantom Menace, so we got two more to go, and I'm looking at these, I'm going, yeah, these just feel, you watch it with somebody new now, and you kind of cringe every time there's a cringeworthy moment. You're like, oh god, there's Jar Jar again. You know, it's like, what is this person that's never seen Star Wars or doesn't have an affinity for Star Wars like I do? What do they think when they see this? You know, it's mm-hmm. it's like, oh, okay, I'm gonna hear it from my wife now. She's gonna be like, what is that character? Who is this? Or what's going on there?
Yeah,
yeah, my fiance and I, we did that to the lead up to Force Awakens with a friend of ours who hadn't seen the movies before, but she was like, she was getting caught up in the hype, so she was like, all right, let's watch. And so we started her in 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. Four, 5, 1, 2, 3, 6.
Okay.
So we went in that order, and she just tore everything apart. Granted, we had been drinking a lot of wine, but it was an eye-opening experience, because she awakened things in me that I hadn't seen before in the movies. And we actually covered it when we did the original trilogy on the Retro Convo last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked about that. I mentioned what she had mentioned. So if you guys want to go catch that, that's a shameless plug for that show.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I'll definitely have to catch that one. But you're, I can see how watching the original trilogy stuff is going to hold up better than watching the prequel trilogy again. They are in two completely different sets of movies, and to me it does, you know, now that I've seen them all again recently, kind of in order, I do kind of think that the prequels are a little bit lacking. I always gave them a lot more slack than I think they deserve, probably, but we're talking about other stuff beyond the movies now anyway, so
yeah.
In addition to Clone Wars, if we were into Rebels, what would be the next easiest jumping off point, in your opinion, Chris, for somebody getting into something? What would get the most bang for their buck as far as knowledge in the universe and opening their eyes into other stuff?
Man, that's a good question. Are we only talking canon?
Yeah, I think so for now. I mean, there's legend stuff that we can talk about, I think, towards the end of the conversation. But if someone wants to just delve into what is canon now, what's going forward, what's the stories that we need to kind of be primed for going forward? I mean, are they going to get, you know, after seeing Rebels, are they going to get more quickly out of going to the comics or going into the novels?
Well, first of all, I definitely agree that Rebels is... I would definitely watch Rebels over Clone Wars. And that's not my bias coming in, because I'm not a huge fan of Clone Wars. But that's just like, that's what's airing right now. And it's popular, and it's a good story, and it's more relevant than Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, if you watch Rebels, then I would say at least give Clone Wars a try. And if you do it in the chronological order. Don't do it in season one, season two, season three order, as it's presented. Look up the chronological order and watch it that way, because it makes sense, because that's how I started. And it was a little bit better than
being
out of order in that way. But if you want to just do, if you like Rebels, definitely read A New Dawn. And honestly, I'd say delve into the comics, just because nothing really in the current canon as far as novels go have really stood out as must reading, aside from maybe Lost Stars.
Okay.
And I guess Bloodline too, but
nothing is crucial to the overall understanding of the films, which I think is the most important thing to do.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're absolutely right. I think you're going to get more out of the comics as well, too. There's more relevant stuff there, I think. More stuff that fleshes out some of the history and the backstory around the original trilogy.
And one thing, too, I'd say is, and this is random, read the Episode 3 novelization.
You know, I still haven't done that. I do need to read that.
You are missing out.
Yeah, you know, you guys have said that before, and I it's on my list, but I just have not picked it up.
Like, I would honestly, before I, if this is just me, I would reread the Episode 3 novel before I would read any of the new canon.
Hmm.
That's how good it is. And I don't even know if it's technically considered canonical, officially. I think it is, unless it contradicts the movie. You guys
okay. can
me if I'm
wrong.
I'm
just looking up the old timeline of canon media here on Wikipedia.
Okay, good, good. Yeah, I mean, I would have to think it is canon because it's talking about a canon movie.
Mm-hmm. And it has, you know, like the deleted scenes and whatnot in it, so which I don't know if that's canon either.
I want to say somewhere I did think I saw that they said the deleted scenes and stuff were canon.
I do not see it on the list here.
Okay. But anyway, you think it's a good book to read.
Yeah, sorry. The young adult version apparently is on here, but not the original novelization. But you should read that anyway. I remember reading it when the movie came out and liking it. I haven't read it since, but...
So I'm the only one that hasn't read that. Okay, thanks. Make me feel good, guys.
To be fair, it has been 11 years. So.
So I've had 11 years to read this and I haven't done it yet. Thanks, Mike. Even better.
Hey.
That's a way to throw me a lifeline there. Great. Oh boy, but I think that's probably the best thing to do is to see the visual stuff first. It's closer to canon to the movies than we have had books or anything. The books I don't think have been all that exciting. I mean, there is some good stuff out there. We mentioned Bloodlines. We mentioned Lost Stars. And there's bits and pieces of some of the other stuff that was, I think, important to know and read. I mean, parts of Aftermath were good. Parts of Battlefront was good. But none of them have really, you know, rang true with me the way some of the Legend stuff has.
I want to see, like, it doesn't feel essential yet.
Right.
Like, I think that's my biggest thing about, like, none of the novels feel like I have to read it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't feel like it's going to be in the movies just yet. Like, yeah, Snap Wexley appears in Aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't feel, it feels like he's in there because he was in the movie. Like, it doesn't feel like a natural progression of the character.
That's how I feel too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that brings up a good question though. What do you consider of the Legend stuff essential, if anything? I mean, I assume you guys have read some of the Legend stuff. I don't expect any of us read all of it because there's just so much of it out there.
Yeah.
For me personally, you know, Darth Plagueis is essential to read even today, even though it's not considered canon. I don't think they're ever going to touch on that. So to me, that's going to be canon until they change that story. But that gave me so much more insight into Palpatine. And I loved it. That to me was a fantastic story, and it's going to stay with me until they really do something to change that. Is there anything else that you guys think is, you know, that kind of a game-changing novel that gives you so much information that, wow, I'm really glad I read that?
Maybe not a novel, but like me being one of the video game guys, definitely Knights of the Old Republic, Knights of the Old Republic 2, and the Old Republic as a trilogy does a lot for the Star Wars Legends universe.
Mm-hmm.
because it is our earliest focal point, at least in something that you can interact with on a real scale. There were some tales before that, but this is like where the majority of like the Sith started, things that kind of affected all the way through to the very end to the legacy comic book from Dark Horse, which I'm actually currently rereading, and it is an early 2000s book, so there's a lot of edge to it, you know, a lot of Star Wars to the extreme, but there's a charm to it that I actually still kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
With Cade Skywalker and his goatee earrings and long trench coat.
Definitely.
Yeah, video games is one thing I kind of forgot about, but even then, I'd say that the only thing that I would recommend playing is Knights of the Old Republic. Not to say that any of the other games are terrible, but those are the ones that really, I feel like, add something to the universe, even though they don't really matter. But I mean, it's not like we have books and movies coming out in that time period, so it doesn't, you know, hurt anything to play them.
Right. I mean, and to me, Knights of the Republic, and this, again, my personal canon, Knights of the Republic is canon until it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's nothing in it that directly contradicts the movies just yet, so why worry about it?
Mm-hmm.
Force Unleashed.
Yep.
Which directly contradicts everything.
Yeah. It does, yeah.
But it's still a lot of fun.
And that's the thing too. I think that a lot of this is, hey, what do you enjoy and what makes you feel good when you get done with either playing it, watching it, or reading it? To me, that's a lot of it right there. I don't care if it's canon or not. I mean, if I really enjoyed something, I'm gonna stick with it. You know, video games or books.
Yeah. Now, like, I was talking about this the other day with a friend of mine, and we were talking about how everyone's in this mode where they have to be a Star Wars expert. And it's like, remember how like 10 years ago we didn't have to be? Because canon was kind of undefined. Like, there were 6 tiers of canon.
Yeah, yep.
And no
yep.
one knew. But now there's one canon, everyone has to know everything. It's like, I kind of wish we could go back.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I briefly talked about this, I think, last week or the week before, that it's a little overwhelming at times because, I mean, we just had Bloodline come out, I feel like, and then now we have another novel, and then everyone's like, oh, you need to read this and you need to read that because spoilers, and it's just, I don't know. I think it's honestly a little detrimental to the fandom at the moment, just because, I mean, I'm not complaining that we're getting new Star Wars content, but it feels like it's a bit much between, you know, getting hyped for the movies and then having to read these books. And then, you know, we have the comics too that are coming out pretty much every week. And at least, like you said, Mike, none of it really feels essential. So it's not like it's absolutely required. I just think some people in the fandom act like it is and try to put you in that mindset when it's really not.
Yeah, well, you know, the one thing I think that's different now versus the Legend stuff when it came out, when the Legend stuff was coming out, there was no new movies on the horizon, you know, at least until the prequels came out. There was just stories, and that's all it was. And they didn't have to worry about stepping on anybody's toes. They didn't have to worry about where things were placed. They didn't have to worry about changing, you know, stories for what's coming up in the future movies. Whereas now, you know, we're still in that mode where they haven't released what episode 8 and 9 are going to be. And they really can't let people play in that era until the movies come out. Because, you know, who knows? You know, they're not going to give away that story until they show the movie. So they're not going to tell the authors, at least not much. You know, what can and can't they do? So in that respect, they're going to keep everybody away from that. And to me, it makes it like, well, we're getting stuff that really doesn't, you know, fit into the grand scheme of things and doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, I think that's why I feel like it feels unessential, because it also feels like we've been here before. You know, like we had 30 years of covering post-trilogy, you know, pre-trilogy, everything was covered back then. So now we're just in this mode where like, we're trying to see what's different. And I think that's why I latched onto Rebels so much, because it is so different than what I had before. And it doesn't feel like anything I've read before in the old Legends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that being said, what do we think of the stuff coming out? I mean, there's a few books that we have on the horizon coming out between now and, say, end of January next year. A couple things I'm looking forward to. You know, Star Wars, books called Catalyst. They haven't even announced the author yet. Catalyst, a Rogue One story coming out in December. So a prequel to Rogue One. I think I'm definitely going to pick this up and read this, because it's going to lead us into that movie. And if anything, it's going to give me more understanding of where we're going to be at, which I think is going to be great. So I'm looking forward to that one. Is there anything that you guys are really looking forward to on the horizon?
For me, definitely the Ahsoka book. Like, she became such a standout character for me in Star Wars that I really want to find out what happened to her between, you know, season 5 and Rebels. And that's what this book's going to talk about. So
yeah, that one should be exciting.
Yeah, that's
Chris, what about you?
That's the same one for me. I mean, I'll probably read the Rogue One book just because. Is that a book or a comic?
It's a book.
Okay. I will read that just because if my expectations of what Rogue One is like matches the book, then, you know, I think it'll be, you know, essential, at least to me. And I think the Ahsoka novel, even though I didn't like her when she was in the Clone Wars, I've really been a little attached to her in Rebels. So, yeah.
Well, she was definitely the character that had the biggest impact on me from Clone Wars. And having her end the way she did, it was just like, oh, wait a minute. That was my favorite character. Where do we get more? And to have her come back
Did it end?
Well, yeah, well, now we're going to find out, you know. But to have her come back in Rebels the way they did and just kind of bring her in a little bit at a time, I thought felt really, really good. And it made me like her even more so than I did. So to get that story about her is going to be great. And much to Chris's dismay, those both come out around the same time, Catalyst and Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
So you better get your reading shoes on there, Chris.
Oh, I know.
Have to power through both of those. Let's see. We're going to get the Rogue One novelization in January. So that'll be interesting if they have any more details than we got in the movie.
Maybe deleted scenes.
Yeah, you know, something like that. Hopefully there'll be some text if there's any kind of things that are vague in the movie that we'll get in the novelization. The last of the Aftermath books come out in January as well. January 31st, we'll see Empire's End. So, you know, no spoilers there. Empire's End. I don't know what that's about, but yeah, we'll see.
I think the Empire is going to rise up in that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, they actually don't end, and the Republic is actually the Empire.
Oh, there you go.
I'm diehard Imperial, and I really, really hope that Episode 9 just has the Empire coming in from the unknown regions, guns of blaze.
Interesting,
That's the theory I'm holding to.
Well, I mean, like I said before, the Empire is the legitimate ruling power in the universe.
Yeah, everyone else is a treasonous dog.
Yep. Terrorists. Now, we got Celebration coming up at the end of the week here. What do you think we're going to get announced as far as new stuff? I mean, obviously, the big thing for the Celebration coverage, I think, is going to be Rogue One. I'm sure we'll get some stuff about Episode 8. Do you think we're going to get anything teased about other movies, TV shows, books, comics?
I'll be really surprised if they don't say something about the Han Solo movie. At least, hey, we're working on it still.
Still, yeah.
I think they'll bring him out on stage and maybe do what they did for Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't think we'll have maybe some concept art, but I don't think we'll have any actual footage just yet. I'm really hoping we get Sorry, Chris, I keep interrupting you.
Oh, it's fine. Go ahead.
I'm really hoping that we get the new Star Wars video game that Amy Hennig, who worked on the Uncharted series, is working on with Visceral.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right.
We saw that little clip in E3, and I'm really, really hoping we get to see maybe a full trailer, maybe something more, because I feel like they were saving it for Celebration instead.
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool. I mean, I'm sure we'll get some more book announcements as well. There's not a lot out there into 2017 and beyond.
One thing that I kind of would like to see is I need them to sell me on the Han Solo movie. And I know that it's still, when is that coming out? 2019, 2020? Something like that?
18, I think.
That was 18, yeah.
Well, when is, Episode 8 comes out December 2017, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm not sold on that at all.
I'm glad I'm not the only one, Chris, because I am like, not either.
It honestly, that might be one that I'm just going to be like, I'll see it because it's Star Wars, unless it's really good. Because I don't see how that's going to do anything to
it feels like they're forcing this movie on us because mm-hmm. they think we all want it. And I'd like to know. I'd like to have a good Han Solo movie, but I don't know if we're going to get a good one. So in my opinion, it's kind of like, why even touch it? You know, it's like the same thing they talk about a Boba Fett movie coming out someday, maybe. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I don't really want that. I mean, I like the character. I'd love to know more about him, but some of it's the mystery. You know, it's like you don't need to see everything. You don't need to see what's behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm. Except
a new character.
They say that it's a young Han Solo movie. Okay. When I hear that, I think of Han Solo in his teens. Because how old was he in A New Hope?
He was late in his 30s, 20s? Wasn't he?
What? It was either late 20s or early 30s.
Yeah. I thought it was late 20s. Yeah, it could be either one. Yeah.
So I'm thinking teen, but based on the cast that it's not officially announced yet, but it's pretty much all but confirmed based on the cast that we've seen. I mean, that's not young Han Solo. That's like same age, but like a little bit before.
Yeah, it's like a couple years before A New Hope.
So yeah. I don't know.
And I think we all would have much rather preferred an Obi-Wan movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What if that would be announced at Celebration?
I would die.
That would be cool. I mean, people would lose their stuff over that one.
I mean, granted, Ewan McGregor is officially done answering questions when people ask him about this because he's sick of, he's sick of everybody asking and thinking that he has any say in the matter. But can you imagine if he's like, see, this is why I wanted you to stop asking?
Mm-hmm. Well, too, that, in my opinion, shows interest in what people want. I mean, you have people going up to an old actor and saying, hey, we want you back in this. Would you be willing to do it? And he's like, yeah. You didn't see people asking anybody for a Han Solo movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you said it, Chris. Like, it's very much the people who are kind of running things, telling us what they think we want
mm-hmm.
versus what we actually want. And granted, I mean, yeah, we all like Han Solo because he was the cool guy, but we've also had 20 years to grow with Obi-Wan.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot more ways than Han Solo, like specifically because of Clone Wars. That's where he became my favorite Star Wars character. Was specifically that, like more so to James Arnold Taylor playing him than Ewan mm-hmm. McGregor, but still, like, that's my Obi-Wan now. Like, I adore him more so than I like Han Solo.
Like, yeah, the character got a lot more interesting.
He died.
What's that?
I was to the point where I was kind of like, I saw this coming when he died in Force Awakens.
Right. But no, you're right. I mean, Obi-Wan got a lot more interesting in the Clone Wars. They used him a lot more. I mean, face it. I mean, how much time did he really have in the original trilogy? He dies halfway through the first movie. So, you know, great character. And we don't need any more from him, but we got it in the Clone Wars and in the prequels. And it was great. Do we need more? Maybe not, but there's some gaps we could fill in. I mean, I think back to the Obi-Wan, you know, book that's Legends now, but I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the story of him, you know, spending time on Tatooine, doing his thing, being a hermit.
My favorite issues of the new Marvel Star Wars book have been the Obi-Wan issues. We're up to three of them now, where it's just been Luke found Obi-Wan's journal while he was in the hut on Tatooine, and he's reading it, and it's flashbacks of the time when Obi-Wan was watching over Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And those have been my favorite issues of the new Star Wars book.
Well, I mean, that's all good stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing what we get out of Celebration, because I'm sure we're going to get something. I just don't know what. I don't know how much of it. And it's kind of like snow. You don't know how much you're going to get or when it's going to stop. So
if you guys had one bold prediction for Celebration, what will it be?
Ooh, one bold prediction.
Yeah, nothing like, oh, we're going to see a new Rogue One trailer. Something bold.
Something bold. I don't know. See, I don't know if they're going to announce anything huge at Celebration. I mean, there's so much in the midst of the marketing right now for the movies they're working on. Two movies actively in production, or one's finished production, getting ready to be released. One of them is just wrapped shooting. Maybe we get, I don't know if we get a teaser for episode 8 or a title for episode 8, maybe.
Maybe a title, yeah. Maybe some footage. Part of me wonders if they're saving anything for Celebration, because this is obviously the big Star Wars con, but Comic-Con in San Diego is next week or the week after.
Well, they don't have a presence there.
I mean, they're going to have something. They may not have an Hall H, but they're saving. I don't know. I'm betting. Mostly
see, I would.
Think no, see, I don't think there'll be anything at
a Star Wars convention.
Yeah, if you're going to release something around this time, it's not going to be at San Diego. It's going to be at Star Wars Celebration. Because it's your own show.
I mean, I guess. Maybe I'm a little biased because I'm going, but, you know. And not to Celebration, but.
Yeah, well, I think they're holding things off for New York Comic Con, so.
Oh, well, yeah, definitely.
Going into that, and yeah. Oh, yeah, so I don't know. Does that answer your question, Chris? Do you think is that bold enough that we're going to get a title for episode 8?
Yeah, I think that's good enough. I think if we don't get something for episode 8, I think we're going to get some kind of. I don't know what exactly as far as the Han Solo stuff goes. I have a feeling that we might get confirmation of who will be playing him.
Didn't we already get confirmation on that?
Yeah,
though?
I thought we have the actor already.
StarWars.com or nobody never Lucasfilm never announced that.
Oh, really? I was just okay. Oh. I thought no, that was official.
Just that's entertainment, whoever,
right? Okay. Well, I'm trying to think back to Celebration last year in Anaheim. We got the trailer for The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know the name before that?
Yes.
Okay, so we have
that name. Was in the Christmas trailer.
That's right. Yep. So we got the trailer, and then we had the real brief, early sneak peek at Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
We're about the same time frame now. Instead of having Episode 7 coming out in December, we have Rogue One coming out in December, mm-hmm. and Episode 8 is the next movie coming out in December the year after. So do we get the same kind of treatment for episode 8? Do we get a teaser? They're arguably farther along because they scrapped filming, whereas Rogue One, they hadn't done any filming yet.
Yeah, I think if it's a teaser for episode 8, it will be very, 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 very brief. Like, not even as long as the one for The Force Awakens was that we got around Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll be one of those like behind the scenes things set to sentimental music, and then all of a sudden, right at the end, a new reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Like Maz with two lightsabers. like some kind of shocking stinger at the end of like this, like this is the journey to episode 8 kind of trailer.
Okay.
They've got to announce something because they're having that panel on the last day, the future filmmakers thing, aren't they? Yep.
I think so yeah. So we told Joel's got to go see.
Yeah. So that's the one with, I guess Rian Johnson is supposed to be there, maybe. I don't know.
I think I saw that, yep.
And Chris Lord, is that his name? Chris Lord and someone else? I don't know the directors.
Guys, possibly, right? Yeah, I'm not sure.
The Lego people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which they're doing the Han Solo film, right?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
So now, do you have any bold predictions yourself, Chris?
I think we'll get a title for episode 8.
Oh, God. It's Phil Lord and Chris Miller, not Chris Lord.
Phil Lord and Chris Miller. Okay. Close enough. But yeah, I think we'll get a title for episode 8 and something about the Han Solo movie, be it a title for that, what it's about, or the actor. Maybe even concept art. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, since the actor hasn't been officially announced, I will probably get that.
Because they said there would be special guests. So it's obviously someone unannounced, which, you know, it's not going to be, oh, we're going to bring out Rian Johnson and the TFA cast again, because we've already seen that before.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't want to say anything too much, but, you know, I got my invitation the other day, so I'm one of the special guests. I'll be...
Oh, yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
You heard it here first, folks.
Breaking news.
I wish, yeah. Yeah, I'm jumping on a plane right after we got the podcast.
Lou, I don't know if you remember. Do you remember Super Shadow?
No.
Oh, God. He was this old fan site way back during the prequels. He was this... Nobody knows for sure if it was a hoax or if it was a real crazy guy, but he swore up and down he was friends with George Lucas and he had all the inside scoop. So he's actually had the plot summaries of episodes 7, 8, and 9 for years. So I'm just wondering how close we'll get to one of those titles that he used for episode 8.
Okay.
It was, yeah. If you, he's got his own article on Wikipedia. He was that infamous.
Wow. I have never heard. I'll have to check that out. Now, did he have a... title for episode 7? Was it close? What did he?
I'm trying to find it. It was so long because his site's been long gone. So you have to go to archive find it. But oh man, it was.
I'll have to read up on Super Shadow now because that's interesting. Very cool.
Trying to find his names. Anyway.
Well, I think we've wreaked enough havoc here without Eric around, so unless you guys have anything else to add...
I found him.
You did? Okay.
It's episode 7, The Fallen Hero, episode 8, The Republican Crisis, and episode 9, Victory of the Force.
I like Victory of the Force.
I like that,
I think that would be a good wrap-up. I think it would be absolutely hilarious and bonkers if they use it.
But the Republican Crisis... Like, that is, like, you know, people always say, oh, Star Wars was inspired by Flash Gordon, which it was. That is, like a early Saturday morning serial. That is a perfect title.
Yeah, it's very akin to The Empire Strikes Back or Attack of the Clones. Like, it's very pulpy. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. And they're in pretty much crisis since their, you know, main planet was destroyed. So, yeah, just saying.
Yeah. So we'll see if Super Shadow has made accurate predictions.
Cool. You heard it here first, folks. Well, no, not really first, because it was done back in the early 90s. So we're kind of late to the game, but you heard it here. Oh boy. Well, so I guess we don't have anything else really. I think we covered everything that we think people should get into if they're just getting into. We don't call it the expanded universe anymore. Do we have a name for this yet? Do we have a name for what the canon is?
Star Wars.
Just the Star Wars universe.
Okay. Like, so yeah, getting into the Star Wars universe, beyond the movies. And I mean, there's gonna be more to come. There's gonna be more good stuff coming out. I'm sure the novels that are out now will probably grow on us as we get more context, maybe. I hope they do. I mean, I'm planning on going back and rereading Aftermath, even though I feel like I struggled to get through it the first time, but I really want it to make sense. I really want it to be part of my Star Wars experience, and we'll see what happens after I read Life Debt and how I feel like going back and rereading Aftermath. But so I guess that wraps up for this week. If you have any questions for us or anything that you think we got totally wrong or right, please email us. You can do that at echobase@randomchatter.com. You can also find us online. It's facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. You can find us on Twitter. The Twitter handle for the podcast itself is Echobase Podcast. You can also reach us at Random Chatter. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Lou Secchi. That's LouSecki. Chris, where are you on Twitter?
I'm at The Curse of Chris.
And Mike, what's your Twitter handle?
It is It's The Rocketeer. That's ITS The Rocketeer.
And you can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. We have a whole slew of them. There's The Random Chatter Show, The Outer Rim, Green Justice, Scarlet Velocity, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, The Retro Convo, which is where Mike is from, The Sabacc Table, and the latest show to the Random Chatter Network, The Quadcast, which just launched today.
Yay!
Welcome to the family. Not that you've already been here, but welcome to Joel.
Yes.
Who has never seen a Star Wars movie.
I will do my best to change that.
I have to keep throwing the bus.
Talk to her about horses.
Yes.
Horsecast.
And also spread the word about the show and the network. You can leave reviews for us on iTunes and Stitcher. And don't forget to tell your friends about us as well.
You can also listen to our shows live. We record live on Tuesday and Thursday nights. Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Thursday we start around 9 p.m. Eastern Time and do two shows. You can find us at randomchatter.com/live. You can also search for us, search for Random Chatter on Ustream and find us there as well. You get no ads when you do stream it on your phones.
And don't forget to support us on Patreon as well. You can find that site at patreon.com/randomchatter. And thanks to all of our donors, Joel,
both Jareds.
Both Jareds, Eric.
Eric just joined.
Yeah, this is not Eric Blythe, but other Eric. Bradley, Chad, Frank, Kyle, Carrie, Morgan, Chickafant, The Blake and Sal Show, Alex, Jeremy, and Tim.
Yeah, thank you very much for supporting us, guys. It really does help us out. Every little bit helps keep the lights on around here, so we really appreciate your help. So I guess until next week, that's about it for now. So we're going to say goodnight. Thank you guys for both joining me tonight, and have a lot of fun. And hopefully have Mike, you back on the show sometime soon again.
Anytime Eric's not here.
There we go. Party when Eric's not here. Okay, good night, everybody.
The Force will be with you, always.